Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
When the pulpy book Valley of the Dolls was first published in 1966, its portrayal of drug abuse and showbiz and its thinly veiled fictionalized portraits of Judy Garland and Marilyn Monroe helped make it one of the best-selling novels of all time. So naturally, there was a swirl of anticipation surrounding the film adaptation. Who would be cast as the rising theater star Neely O'Hara? Would there be nudity? Is it true that Judy Garland was going to be in it? But the final product, starring Patty Duke, Barbara Perkins, and Sharon Tate, turned out to be an unintentionally hilarious, campy mess. As one reviewer described it, quote, a dirty soap opera, capable of the most offensive and appalling vulgarity ever thrown up by any civilization. It has still become a cult classic, and adding to the mix, apparently the drama on screen was eclipsed only by the drama on the set. Author Stephen Rubello takes us behind the scenes of this cult classic in his new book, Dolls, 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 the most beloved bad book and movie of all time. Stephen, welcome to All of It.
Happy to be here.
So when you say Valley of the Dolls, there's an instant recognition from people. You know, for some people, it's the book and the movie that's so bad that it's good in that category. What is it that you love about Valley of the Dolls?
Like the title of your show, All of It. It's funny, it's touching. It's edgy in that it's one of the really first depictions of pill popping among women in film history. But I think one of the reasons why I like the film and why I wanted to write the book is I wanted to look at what I experienced watching the movie, which is kind of the underlying question of, can high camp, you know, be kind of rip-roaringly entertaining but also illuminate some home truths? And that's why I wanted to do the book. I mean, I wanted to talk about the tilted playing field that exists for women now and then. I wanted to talk about the beauty trap. Can it kill? Yes, it can. It could kill then, and it kills now. I mean, I wanted to look at pill popping before the opioid, epidemic. I wanted to look at the roots of the Me Too era. Could I tell a story that is as much more about women in Hollywood in the 1960s as it is about Valley of the Dolls? And readers are telling me that yes, I could, and yes, they're having a good time doing it, but they're also touched by it, and I think that's a big win.
So the three main characters in the story, Neely, Jennifer, and Anne, who are they based on?
it depends on whom you ask, but Neely O'Hara is pretty, you know, I mean, it's pretty clearly Judy Garland, the older Broadway actress, Helen Lawson is pretty clearly the Broadway legend, Ethel Merman. Marilyn Monroe, yes, there's lots, especially in the book, there's lots of Marilyn Monroe in the character of Jennifer. And Barbara Perkins, who plays Anne Wells, you know, that's pretty much Jacqueline Suzanne, the author of the novel, even down to the hairdo. So as you were saying in your intro, that was a big, big part of the appeal. Like, who are these people really? And that's why so many big people wanted these roles, because it was meant to be, and that's what makes it, you know, it's fall so funny and sad, is it was meant to be an important movie. It was meant to actually tell some home truths. It was the kind of movie that attracted really big directors and screenwriters, and most of whom didn't actually wind up doing the movie. But, everybody wanted to be part of this somehow. And the story of why it went so haywire, I think, is a pretty interesting one.
I do want to talk about why it went so haywire, but I want to point out, just to follow up on your point about Hollywood and the way women are treated, you know, the publishing industry, the novel was panned by critics and the movie was too. Do you think there was some sexism in the way that the novel was received?
Yeah, I think there was lots of sexism in how it was received. But, you know, because the, you know, I love Jacqueline Suzanne was not Flaubert. She wasn't Dostoevsky, but she created really interesting characters, and she got under the skin. She knew the world that she was writing about, and I think the people who read the novel, largely women, but not just, understood that whatever her Jackie Suzanne's defects in terms of being a writer of class and great style, mm-hmm. was someone who knew the truth and told it. She wasn't mocking people. She wasn't making fun of them. There was no tongue-in-cheek. She was writing straight up. But the reviewers who went after her, and it was not only reviewers, it was fellow writers, and the attacks were almost always personal. Hmm. They called her a truck driver in drag, or, you know, she wasn't really a writer, she was a typist. And oddly enough, maybe not so oddly enough, the most vehement criticisms came from people who didn't sell as well as she did. And she told them that. She would tell the Gore Vidals and Truman Capotes and, you know, others of the world maybe they should write a book as half as successful as hers, and it might make them nicer, more sensitive people. So I do think there was a lot of sexism involved. I think there's a lot of sexism involved now. I mean, recently a critic said, why would I write about a movie? Why would I, you know, spend so much time writing about a movie that's so unimportant? And I looked at the fact that I've written about movies that were, you know, quite serious in the past. I wrote about mm-hmm. Psycho. But I do remember when I wrote about Psycho, a critic said, why is Rebello spending so much time writing about a lesser Hitchcock movie? So, you know, it goes on and on.
I guess Stephen Rebello.
But this.
Go ahead, Stephen.
No, I was going to say that you know, but this one being you know, a novel and movie about women, somehow that's less important to people. It seems less important to people that it's almost not worthy of writing about. I beg to differ.
My guest is Stephen Rebello. The name of his book is Dolls, 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 the most beloved bad book and movie of all time. So, you know, I watched it again last night, and you could tell they were trying to go for art, and they were trying to do something, yet it just went terribly wrong. When did the project really start to head towards sort of disaster? What were some of the elements that caused the problems?
It's a great question. I think it always starts on the page. You know, it's the old cliche, if it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage. And they were writing, it was two female screenwriters, both Oscar winners and both very accomplished, very brilliant women. But they were not part of 1960, you know, of the 60s era. They were part of the 40s and the 50s, and mostly the 40s. So that's why I think that the movie feels incredibly old-fashioned and very unhip, especially when it was promised as a movie that was going to be really daring and edgy and, you know, say something. So it really went wrong. And then, you know, they didn't get the actors they were after. You know, they were after, you know, people like Jane Fonda and Candace Bergen, you know, and they were, after really, really interesting directors like Joseph Mankiewicz, who'd done All About Eve and, you know, Letter to Three Wives, or Douglas Sirk, who'd, you know, had done Written on the Wind and, you know, these really florid melodramas that had, you know, an edge of irony. So, you know, but a not so good script usually doesn't attract, you know, premium talent. And they were rushing against time because everyone thought that Jacqueline Suzanne's novel, which was this incredible freak bestseller, was going to fall off the bestseller list. So they better get the movie underway.
It also sounded like the director that they did go with, Mark Robson, was as much of a nightmare as maybe the actresses were.
Wow, I was wondering how you're going to fill in that blank. he was a difficult man on this movie. He directed his actors with a stopwatch, literally, telling them, "Hey, can you cut 20 seconds off this? I'm editing it as we're shooting it." He seemed to have no idea how to talk to human beings, certainly not to women. He didn't know how to direct actors. He seemed only interested in showing pilled, like literally showing pilled, as opposed to helping a viewer understand what pressures drive or drove those particular women into taking pills. What was the nature of the loneliness? What was the nature of the emptiness once they reached the top? So he seemed like he was kind of doing like a classic illustrated Valley of the Dolls for Dummies, you know, hitting high points without really doing the interstitching. You know, as one of the actresses said, I mean, imagine if it had come along in the era of Martin Scorsese and he had decided, you know, surprise, surprise, to direct this movie. You would have understood what it felt like mm-hmm. to be up against the wall, what too much success too fast felt like, and more importantly, what it felt like it to be high, to be stoned, to be tripping out, to be drunk, and you know, you don't get any of that in this. So you watch the movie at a distance, mostly with your jaw dropped.
Truly.
Like me. But that is not to say the movie is not without its charms. There's those fabulous costumes, the mid-century architecture, the piled upon wigs, the oversized melodrama of it all. The chomped out, spat out line readings. It's a lot of fun.
You know, it's common knowledge that the character of Neely O'Hara was sort of based on Judy Garland, and not exactly flattering. Yeah. And Judy Garland was cast in the movie as the aging theater star Hella Lawson, but that all fell apart. And she recorded a version, Judy recorded a version of a song for the film before it all fell apart. So let's listen to a little bit of that, and we'll talk about it on the other side.
I'll plant my own tree and I'll make it grow. My tree will not be just one in a row. My tree.
So, Stephen, what happened with Judy Garland? I mean, you talk about wanting A-list talent.
Yeah, well, they got it. They got it with Judy Garland. Well, you know what happened with a number of things. One, she didn't read the screenplay.
That's a problem.
Or the final screenplay. Yeah, big problem. She was up against the wall, too. She was broke. She'd lost her home, been recently divorced, was reeling from alcohol and pill addiction, terrified of getting older, terrified that she was losing her voice. And, you know, this is a big entertainment phenomenon. I mean, who was used to, back at MGM when she was, you know, queen of the lot, she was used to being, you know, treated well, and treated well in terms of flowers and people kind of, you know, kissing her cheeks and being respectful of that. This director was not respectful of her. There is a question in my mind, and I talk about it in the book, about really whether her whole hiring had to do with publicity. One, to stop her from suing for libel. Two, to hire her and fire her as proof of she's just unreliable, and think of the publicity they could get from that. But she was treated so badly. She wasn't greeted when she arrived on the set. She was kept, she was called for like 5 o'clock in the morning, and she'd show up and they wouldn't get to her till 4 or 5 o'clock in the late afternoon. She was treated as if she were nothing but a day player, and her insecurities and inner demons came to the surface. She got nervous. She started drinking. People who worked on the movie adored her and were pulling for her, but it was clear the director was pushing and probably wanted to get his old friend Susan Hayward in that role anyway. It's a really sad mm-hmm. kind of epitaph to a brilliant career, and she never made a movie again.
There are so many good stories in this book. It's called Dolls, 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 the most beloved bad book and movie of all time. Stephen Rubella, thank you so much for joining us.
I really appreciate it. I had a good time. Thanks.